Good morning, family. My name is Angela. I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic from Akron, Ohio. I am so grateful to be here with you this morning. I want to thank the entire Founders Day Committee for putting this together for our recovery community in these challenging and unique times. And I am so honored to be a part of this Founders Day 85th anniversary for the year 2020. My sobriety date is December the 6th of 2009. My home group is the Garden of Hope Women's Meeting. We meet every Wednesday, 7:30. We did not do the Zoom option for our meeting, so we look forward to seeing you when we can resume in-person meetings. I am so grateful to be here with you this morning. The topic, So Freely Given, So Freely Give, Pass It On. So this program was passed on to me by a woman that I knew through work, and she did me the service of breaking her anonymity to share this program with me, and she did it at great risk to herself. The profession that we were in at the time was known to not be that tolerant of mistakes of any kind, and so she took a great risk to her professional career and exposing herself to me because she saw another suffering alcoholic, and she felt it was her spiritual duty to pass that message on to me. And I'm so grateful she did. At the time that she first passed on the message to me, I did not understand what she was trying to impart to me. The full gift of this program was lost on me at that time. I was in the throes of alcoholism, not very clear-headed, and so I was not fully appreciative of the gift that she was giving to me. As time went on, the gifts just kept on coming. So it started with her, and to my knowledge, she had no reason or anything to benefit from passing this message on to me. But in the back of my mind, I was thinking, what does she want from me? Why would she take the time out of her day to pass this message on to me? There must be a catch, is what I thought. I was pretty pessimistic about the world at this point in time. I didn't have even a shred of hope left that life could get better. And so I did have that thought in the back of my mind that she must want something from me. And it's not going to take long before I find out what that is. And I bet you I'm not going to like it. So I went to that first meeting that she invited me to. She came and she picked me up and she took me to my very first meeting. She did introduce me to friends that she had met in this program. She stuck by me because she saw the deer in the headlights look that was on my face when we first walked into that meeting. There looked like there was at least 200 people milling around that parking lot. There was probably closer to about 50, but it was scary. And I think she could recognize those signs. It had not been that long since she was a newcomer to this program. And so she stuck by me. And for the next 2 weeks, this woman called to check on me, offered to take me to meetings, and was doing what is taught to us to do in the 12th step of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is to pass it on, to share the message to another alcoholic. And to be honest with you, family, I don't know that if that message had come from anybody else, if I would have been open to receiving it. But the reason why it was so effective for this young lady to pass it on to me is because she shared with me her own struggles with this illness of alcoholism. She was able to share with me her own experience, strength, and hope. And because she was able to share her own perspectives with me, that made her message all the more impactful. That started my journey in this program, and I was able to see the spiritual principle of so freely given, so freely give over and over and over again. And as the fog started to lift, I was able to see that message play out. It started with my very first sponsor. I gave that woman a hard way to go. I did not give her very much to work with. When I asked her to be my sponsor, I think I was looking down at her shoes. I was not able to meet the eyes of very many people when I first came in here. And I asked her to be my sponsor in a lowered voice, lowered head, full of shame, guilt, and remorse. And she accepted. And she started my journey in this program of taking me through the steps. I did not give that woman hardly one shred of honesty. I wasn't capable of it at the time. I did not share with her what was honestly in my heart. I did not call her as she asked me to do. And she did not give up on me. She did not give up on me. And she continued to try to share this message to me because she knew how important it was. And she loved me enough to try to save my life. It followed all the way through the friends that I met. The friends that I met in this program who embodied the principle of we are not a glum lot. I thought that my life was over when I first came to this program. Even though I had not had a true fun in years prior to coming to this program, I still had the thought that I'm never going to have fun again if I can't drink. I am never going to laugh again if I can't drink, which again is not miscounting the fact that I had not experienced true, genuine laughter in years prior to coming to the program. But I think a lot of you can relate to me that when we first come in and we see a bunch of people standing around drinking coffee, I just thought this cannot be my life. And I just thought this is it. It's over. You know, I'm never going to experience any kind of fun again. And I met a group of people that absolutely insisted on enjoying life. That spiritual principle of attraction rather than promotion, which is one of our treasured time-honored traditions, they embodied that. They attracted me to this program because of their honesty and because of their ability to enjoy life as sober members of Alcoholics Anonymous. I wanted that. I wanted what they had, not because they preached it to me, because they walked the walk. And they didn't get anything out of sharing that with me other than themselves staying sober another day. As I progressed through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, as I worked the steps with my sponsor, she made it very clear to me that it's time for me to pass it on. There are several paradoxes that are the foundation of our program, and they don't make any logical sense. And one of them is give it away to keep it. Now, to be honest with you, family, I had been a very devoted hoarder when I first came to this program. And I don't mean, you know, hoarding up stacks of newspapers. I mean, if I got something that I wanted or that I thought I needed, I clutched it with both hands. And if I saw anybody trying to come close to me that even looked like they were going to take it away from me, I reacted defensively. It's called the scarcity principle. It's that fear that it talks about in the big book of losing something that I have that I desperately think I need, or the fear of not getting something that I want that makes me want to grasp and claw at it. Anything that I've ever turned over to God has had claw marks all up and down it because I've just so afraid that if I give it away, then I'm not going to have what I need for myself. And this program teaches me very quickly that is not going to reward me in this program. And in fact, I am not going to stay sober if I try to keep this gift to myself. So all 12 steps are designed to relieve me of the bondage of self that makes me feel like I have to keep things to myself. It starts to show me how to give away this gift in order to keep it. As I gained a working knowledge of the 12 steps, God blessed me with women in my life who thought that I was attractive enough in this program to want what I have. What a gift. What a blessing. It scared me to death, I'll be honest. Other people can often see the growth in ourselves before we can. At least that's been my experience. It's the we part of this program that's so important to me even today. I've got a tribe of women in this program today that show me how to live life and also show me through their words and their kind comments how I am growing in this program. They also gut check me when I am not living in this program the way I should be. That's the we part of this program that's so important. And that's what sponsees have done for me. I've been so, so blessed to be able to try to shepherd several young women through this program. And I remember hearing when I first got in and I first talked to my first sponsor, and she said, "You're going to help me way more than I'm ever going to help you." And I thought, what a load. Like, I just thought she was selling me a line. I just thought, how could I possibly help anyone? I felt so worthless at that time. I just was not convinced that I could help anybody. And so I remember when the first young woman asked me to sponsor her, and that's immediately what started happening, is that she started helping me immediately, way more than I felt like I was helping her. Sponsees keep you honest. They ask you questions. And if you don't know the answer honestly, it becomes clear. And it made me lean on my sponsor more than I had been at that time. It made me go back to the book. It made me really dig in and to see where I needed to shore up on my own program in order to be able to help somebody else. It says in our big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, we can't give away what we don't have. And boy, does that become true when you start trying to walk other people through this program. That is obviously not the only way to share this message. Passing it on to me also means being an active member of my home group. When I first joined the Garden of Hope Women's Group, I can just remember the shock from my first home group when they handed me keys to the church. I think I was a couple of months sober at that time. I think I was 6 months sober. And they handed me keys to the basement of this church, the St. Sebastian's Church. And they said, "You are now responsible every Friday night to be here to open this meeting and to make sure the coffee is ready when people come." And I can remember that made me feel a part of. And I felt accountable to make sure that those doors were open. That's part of passing it on. I was the intergroup rep for my home group for a year. That's part of passing it on. And I would not be able to do any of that, is if it wasn't for those that showed me the way. What attracted to me to my sponsor was not so much what she said, but it's how she moved in this program, and it's how she moved in life. I was lucky enough to be able to interact with her outside of the rooms, and she is the very same outside of these rooms as she is in the rooms, in that she treats everybody the way that she would want to be treated. She embodies the spiritual principles of this program. That's attraction to me. That's what I want. That's what I wanted. And that's what kept me motivated to stay in this program and to keep doing the next right thing, and to keep working these steps, to try to live these steps, to make them a part of my life so ingrained that it almost becomes habit. But I'm an alcoholic. I am a quick forgetter, which is why I have got to keep coming back, which is why I'm so thankful to all of the young women that have honored me by asking me to walk them through this program. They have indeed helped me more than I think I could have ever helped them. And I thank them so much from the bottom of my heart for giving me that honor. I want to thank Juanita and the entire Founders Day Council for allowing me to be here with you this morning to speak with you in these unique and challenging times. But I want to tell you how proud I am of our AA community in these challenging times. I remember telling my friends, "Man, we have the tools to live through these challenging times more than normal people do." That living one day at a time and staying in the present moment and letting go and letting God, man, we've been trying to do that to save our lives way before this pandemic started. And so I realized how blessed I was to have the tools to continue to live life on life's terms that I never would have had before coming to this program. So once again, happy 85th Founders Day, family. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here with you this morning. And I look forward to hearing what my fellow panelists have to say. Thank you very much.
Good morning, folks. My name is Tim Bronson. I'm an alcoholic. Juanita, I thank you so much for asking me to participate this morning here and to share my experience, strength, and hope, and what was given to me here in Alcoholics Anonymous, giving me the opportunity to give that away. Thank you, Angela, for your story. I thank everybody who has carried this message over the past day. Saturday was wonderful. I attended a lot of the meetings. I actually had a funeral to go to yesterday afternoon. Life in Alcoholics Anonymous, right? I met a new guy yesterday morning, 12-step call, and buried a friend who had been sober for a couple of years and went back out at 50 years old and died. The front lines of spiritual warfare, and that's where I've been placed, and that's where I am kept. I tell the guys that I sponsor, this is the only warfare known to mankind where the safest place to be is in the trenches, on the firing line. If you don't want to die, don't retreat. Do not run away from this. And had that experience yesterday with my man Zig, and he's with me again this morning along with Jimmy and Kirk, a couple of guys that are great friends of mine that we've been together for a number of years now. And all the speakers, Aaron and his crew, the IT guys, everybody that has anything to do with Founders today, I thank you so very much. I live over in Pittsburgh. I'm about 2 hours from Akron. So my boy Ronnie Novosel from up in Butler took me to Akron Founder Day back in 08. And I've been going ever since. Haven't missed one Founders Day. And me and a friend did a little calculation last night. And since 08, I've taken 29 people to Founders Day for their first time. It's a special place indeed. I had my most recent drink. I don't call it my last drink. I'm not recovered, and I am not short of my alcoholism. I can get a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. I'm not here to split hairs or argue about syntax or anything you want to describe it as. I will tell you that the last time I drank alcohol was April 17th of 2007. And I passed it on a friend of the floor of a friend's apartment sometime in the early morning hours of that night. And I never thought in my head that I was going to quit drinking. I didn't come here with a drinking problem, folks. Drink was my solution to life. It is the one thing that worked when all else failed. The problem was that solution stopped working about 5 years before I had asked God for help. I had my first drink when I was 17 years old. I was a freshman in college. I was a ball player and an A student and a homecoming queen in high school, and I was going places. And I get to college, and I'm no longer the starting quarterback on the team, and I'm no longer the man. And those feelings that I had always had about myself inside of me really came to light. And the feelings were, this life ain't never going to work out, man. I found my dad dead when I was 13 years old, and I was convinced that my life was going to be a veil of tears. And I set out to be the top dog, right? And that's how I lived my life, looking for an external solution to an internal problem. And I filled it with trophies and football and accomplishments and grades and the homecoming queen. And when that was challenged and I was really revealed, coincidentally, after our first game, my freshman year in 78, there was a party and I drank. And I woke up in my dormitory across campus the next day. I didn't even know how I got there. My first sponsor, Lou Pale, said to me, kid, the first 2 hours of your drinking that night was the end of your social drinking. And he was right. I have never had the ability to control the amount of alcohol I drink once I drink one. And I had a mental obsession, man, to get to that ease and comfort that alcohol provided. It was with me for 3 decades. That first drink, I had no dove come from the sky, no clouds opened. I got drunk. But I had my first spiritual experience with alcohol in October of 79. When the Pittsburgh Pirates played the Baltimore Orioles in Game 7 of the World Series. And I drank that night with a group of friends, and the Pirates won, and we went downtown, and it was beautiful, man. It was one of the great nights of my life, and I felt like the circle was complete. A spiritual experience with alcohol. And I had many sins. I could get to that ease and comfort, and the attitudes I was going through that with, racked with fear and anger and aggression, would disappear when I drank a glass of whiskey. Like someone put water, threw a bucket of water on a campfire. But I'm an alcoholic, and I can't control the amount I take or how I act while drinking. And when that campfire goes out, I eventually burn the forest down. Why do I go back to it again and again and again? Because that first one did the job. I didn't know, man, that I was doomed. I had a mental obsession which drove me to drink, and an allergic reaction to it which told me how much I would drink and how I'd act while drinking. And that's how I drank from 17 to the age of 46. Hospitals, mental institutions, jail. I'm not here to do a fifth step for you. I'm here to tell you that I lived a life of self-centered fear. This belief that nothing was ever going to work out, and despite the jobs or the cars or the girls or the vacations or the money in my pocket, the only thing that ever brought me any peace was a glass of whiskey. But then comes 3 and 4, and that peace is gone. And I'm 46 years old, and I had been to AA a couple of times, and I had never one time read this book. No one had ever said to me, Timmy, you're in the grips of a progressive and fatal illness, and if a guy like you doesn't have a spiritual experience, he's doomed. No one ever told me that fact. This time at 46 years old, my third meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous up in Lindora, PA, they were giving away a big book, and I raised my hand. Never raised my hand before in my life in here. I was a meeting maker who didn't make it. I got that big book, and I took it back to the room I was staying in at this rehab center, and I read it that weekend. And I remember reading the description of the real alcoholic on page 21, and I almost dropped that book. How did that guy know me way back then? And I go on a little further, and there is a solution. And I read where this guy goes to see this Dr. Young. And Carl Young tells him he has the mind of a chronic alcoholic. Cases like him never recover. Get a bodyguard. Get locked up. This over. And he says nothing. And Carl Young tells him, once in a while in recorded history, alcoholics of your type have undergone some kind of vital spiritual experience, right? He was referring to Matt Talbot or Augustine of Hippo. People that were hit with this awakening, and old ideas are pushed to one side, and a whole new set of ideas and concepts move in. That book was a sponsor of mine. That message was given to me freely at a meeting, and it was in there for me to read, and I read it. Now, I had the blessing of hooking up with a guy who died here in Pittsburgh back in 2015 with 51 years sober. And Lou was not averse to telling me the truth or hurting my feelings or also showing me love and being an example. And I had teachers like Ron N. up in Butler, who I met Anita through, actually. She spoke in Butler probably 11, 12 years ago. And that's the first time I heard her story. I was like, damn. And Ronnie taught me about chairing meetings and wearing a tie and a suit and going to Founders Day in Jackson Mills. And Ronnie's car was always packed with new guys. At 3 months sober, I had a sponsor that said to me, you're old and you're sick. And if I'm going to sponsor you, we're going to take these steps. Guys, I had come to the end of myself. Beaten into a state of reasonableness, I believe Bill calls it in the 12 and 12. And at 3 months sober, I was writing my fourth step and did my fifth. At 6 months sober, I was making financial amends and made amends to the people. Financial amends. You want to have a short discussion meeting? Bring up the topic. Tell me about your biggest financial amend. You'll be out of there in 20 minutes. Lou had me write down who I owed and what I owed and how I was going to pay it back, and I did. The message is this. It's given to me in the big book. It was given to me by Lou. It's been given to me by John Lee, a great teacher of mine. It's been given to me by guys that I sponsor. It's been given to me by Chris Raymer when I was 6 months sober and I got one of his tapes. I heard a beautiful message yesterday. Charlie talking about 60 to 63. I tell guys, read page 62, and if you find yourself on that page, then we're going to do business. If it ain't you, I don't know what to tell you. The message is clear. We have a chapter called There Is a Solution. That's important, huh? And the 12 steps are not in that chapter. Oh my, what's that? What's in that chapter is we have a spiritual awakening or a spiritual experience, or if you drink like me, you're going to go on to the bitter ends. Page 25 says, if you're as alcoholic as we, you're left with two choices. You'll go on to the bitter ends and kind of blot out of your consciousness the horrible existence that you're living by drinking more, or you'll accept spiritual help. That's the message that was given to me. Thank God. That is the message I carry to my guys. Zig was in the car yesterday morning, man, and I told him my story in 10 minutes. They asked Dr. Bob, you want to meet with Bill for 15 minutes. Why'd you stay in there for 5 hours? Bob said, for the first time in my life, somebody talked to me about their drinking instead of mine. So when me and my guys get a new fellow, man, we tell them our story. Our big book starts with Bill's story. We identify the problem, and we identify the solution. And then we set an agenda. This is what we're going to do, and here's how it's going to go down and the time frame that we do it. If you're in, let's do it. If you're not, there's other people here that will take you all the meetings you want to go to. I have the AA answer. I try to give it with love and compassion and the big yes. It's been given to me freely by Juanita 12 years ago when I heard her story. I said, damn, I got a shot. Guys, this is the essence of my spiritual experience. I came to believe in a power greater than myself. And it takes many forms. And somewhere along the line, through these steps and through this beautiful fellowship, me has become we. That's what we offer. Juanita, I love you dearly. I thank you for having me speak today. I thank everybody involved. You're up, sister. Give them hell. Give them heaven, as people will say, huh?
I'm a real alcoholic. I want to thank Juanita, and I want to thank the committee for, I don't know who said Lynette R. I don't know how that happened. I do know, because there's a guy that says hi and look low. So God must have wanted me here, because I surely am too great. I am so honored. I am shaking. I didn't drink a cup of coffee. That made it even worse. I am so nervous, and I don't even see nobody. That's the beauty of this. I don't even see nobody. This was a perfect topic for me because, and I had all this stuff wrote down. I was going to say this, and I'm going to say that, and then I lost the paper. So God didn't want me to say that crap. Then, to solidify that God didn't want me to say what was on that paper, somebody said yesterday, it is not how you give a speech, it's not how polished you are, but it's what comes from the heart hits the heart. And that was so important to me because I know I have a lot of things that has happened to me in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous that I can share to let people know no matter what you're going through, no matter who died, what goes on in this world, you don't never have to take another drink one day at a time. And that's the first thing that I learned in Alcoholics Anonymous is that go to meetings. Even if your butt falls off, pick it up, put it in the wheelbarrow, and get it to a meeting. Because somebody in that meeting, God gonna use to save your life. You don't know until you get to that meeting. And so I walked around the meetings for about a year and a half and wouldn't get a sponsor. People would ask me, and I'd say, no, no. I'm not allowing no woman in my life to steal my man that I didn't have or to tell me about my business. I can handle this. And that's why I was self-willed and riot for years. A lady named Sharon Thomas, I know I miss Sharon Thomas so much. She has passed away, but she gave me my first sponsor. And I called her like she told me to, and I went to her before I would go do anything else. I went to her first, and then I started seeing her humanness. And when we see, this is why I know that this is a spiritual program. It's not your sponsor. It's not your support group. It's a power greater than you that sets you free. And I had already had the gift of desperation. So even though I was walking around without a sponsor and I hadn't worked the step and I couldn't read the big book, I had the gift of desperation. And that's what kept me sober until God planted people in my path that helped me along the way. My sobriety date is May 5th, 1999. I haven't found it necessary from that day to this day to pick up any mind-altering substance. And AA gave me that. I learned in IBH to go to meetings. So I went to meetings. I went to 3 or 4 meetings a day. I was in meetings all the time. I learned a lot of things that people said in meetings. When you're mad, when you're sad, when you're happy, go to meetings. And I went to meetings. And that's what AA gave me. It gave me meetings. And in the meetings, those people in the meetings were my higher power. Because I didn't believe in God. I didn't believe in that God y'all was talking about. My daddy told me, that God don't like you, and we don't pray to that God. So I had all these prejudices against God. And my grandmother's God, you can get drunk from Monday through Saturday. But on Sunday, you better repent. I said, ooh, we better die on Sunday. Because if we die from Monday through Saturday, we weren't going to make it in my grandmother's house. So, and when they said you could get a God of your understanding, I didn't understand what they were talking about. So I went to a meeting one day, and a lady named Joe R. was behind the podium. And this was like, I had about 2 years sober then. And the lady was talking about, I don't know what she said in her message, but I heard her say, if you don't have a higher power, you can borrow mine. What a concept. And I give that away every time I speak. If you don't have a higher power right now, today, borrow mine. Because my God loves you unconditionally. No matter what you do, he still loves you. When God forgives me, who else can hold my feet to the fire? I'm not responsible for what you feel. I'm responsible for what I feel and what I do with my feelings. It's okay to be angry, but it's not okay to act out on your anger. It's okay to feel, you know, like you're not a part of, then you can do some things so you can feel like you're a part of. So every solution, every problem I ever had, they solved it in the AA for me. I also, when I got this God, I was praying to this God because y'all was telling us, I heard people in meetings saying, you can ask God for anything and he'll you know, provide it for you. So I got Joe Randall's God and I'm asking Joe Randall's God to send me a man. Because when I first came in, I wanted to be loved. And I wanted to be loved by a man. And I did not want to be in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and not feel like I was part of but didn't have no love, or somebody saying they love me, even if it was a lie, I still needed to feel that. And so I went down to the Salvation Army and got me a man, because Joe Randall's God was just taking too long for me. So I went down there and picked me up a man. And let me tell you, I'm not saying there's something wrong with the men in the Salvation Army. I'm saying there was something wrong with my worth. I thought I was worth a man who was in the Salvation Army trying to clean himself up and trying to get his life right. And here I am, washing all of that away. And no wonder none of them stayed, so no wonder. And now I know today that God didn't send me, because you know, we'll say, God sent me that man, girl. You see, girl, I love him, God sent me. And then go home and all get out breaks out. Y'all in there fighting and angry at each other, because that wasn't ordained by God. When God give you something, it's free and clear, it's good. It's yours to keep. And I learned that from going to meetings. I also learned from going to meetings that one day I found my own God. And I started praying to a God of my understanding. Now, my God was loving, caring, giving, and was forgetful. No matter what I did, he would forgive me for what I did. And I started passing that on to the girls I sponsored. And I kept telling them, and a lot of people was coming to me saying, my mom, or they'll say, my friend said, you can help me. They said, you can help me stay sober and you can save my life. I said, who told you that, honey? They lied. They lied to you. I cannot help you stay sober. God does not give me the crystal ball. Because what if I don't like you? And then I'm not going to help you stay sober. What God do give me is a seed. And he allows me to plant it and he grows it. And that's how you're going to stay sober. You have to find a power greater than yourself that can restore you to sanity, to set you on your path to this new life. Not that old life you had, not those old people in your life. You're going to get a new life and a new set of people. When I came to Alcoholic Anonymous, I did not like my mother. I hated her. I was praying she got hit by a Mack truck. And when I got here, people were saying, you got to let that resentment go. It's going to get you drunk, girl. You got to forgive your mother. And it took a long time for me to get there. But one day, that seed that they planted grew. And today, I love my mama. I take care of her. I moved her in my house. She got sick. I went and got her and brought her home with me and take care of her. And she is so... I didn't mean to cry, y'all. I'm so sorry. She is just so grateful. And I am so happy that I get to redo that all over. And the relationship I got with her, I always wanted. I don't want to mess up my makeup. I always wanted this gift. And now I'm grateful that I have it. And another thing I have is that AA gave me a chance to redo my childhood. It was horrible. But my friend went to the penitentiary and I got her 4 kids and I was able to redo my whole childhood. So I know that in Alcoholic Anonymous, you can have anything you want and desire. You can be anything you want to be and desire in Alcoholic Anonymous. And that's the gift. That's the gift that I am so grateful for, to give to other people. And I always, and people come to me asking me to sponsor them and don't even call me. I remember one time this girl asked me to sponsor me and got behind the podium and said, Lynette Jones is my sponsor. I said, I don't even know that child. I don't know her. And so when she came down, I told her, I said, honey, why are you telling my sponsor? She said, you do. I asked you when I was an idea. I said, but you better call me. You got to work the stuff. You got to do some things so I can help you get on the path. But that was absolutely horrible. I was like, wow, people still look at me like, you know, I'm something to hold on to. And I remember when people were saying, please don't come back over here. Please. Please don't drink. Don't invite her. People was having parties I wouldn't invite. I happened to run up on them and they was having a party. I wouldn't even invite it. But as time went on in the program, everybody was inviting me to stuff. And I was so grateful for the friends that I had in Alcoholic Anonymous, that when they would put something on the grill, they would say, hey, you come on over here. We're going to have some hamburgers and hot dogs. That was the gift that God gave me through the people of Alcoholic Anonymous. And the last thing that I want to say about the gift that God gives and that we give back to other people is stop looking at people's time. People judge you on how much time you got in the program, and that is so unfair. It's so unfair because I know they have a pair of pajamas that fit every length of sobriety. I lost God in the rooms of Alcoholic Anonymous. I should have got drunk. But God, again, saved me. And he sent me this girl named Erica. And this girl had about 6 years, and I was like 17 years sober. And I said, that's the girl that's supposed to sponsor me. And I've had many good sponsors, but I wasn't willing to let them sponsor me. It wasn't them, it was me. And then I had sponsors who up, jumped, and moved forward. And I seen this girl talking, and I walked up to her after the meeting and asked her, can you sponsor me? And she looked at me and she was like, don't you have more time than me? I said, girl, what that got to do with it? I got the time, but you got the sobriety. She had the gift that I have been needing all these years. And when that girl started sponsoring me, she took me from step one to step 12. And she taught me that I don't have to steal no more. I don't have to lie no more. I don't have to be this person that I had become in AA. I was self-willed, reliant in AA. It wasn't before I got here, in here for years, doing what I want to do. You know, saying what I want to say to people and moving my head like this and pointing my finger. And then I learned I was losing people that really loved me and I love them and I don't want to lose people in AA. And so I tell people all the time, the man with 1 hour can teach the man with 1 minute how to stay sober 1 hour. That's how this go. It doesn't matter that I've been here all that time, because some days I am not sober. I am dry. And some days I am not spiritual. I am angry. And then some days I am so loving and caring and God-filled and giving. And most days I am like that. I am. It depends on how hard you're hurting. When you'll see a part of me that I don't like to show, but I want people to know we ain't doormats today. And people need to treat people with respect and dignity and love, period. I don't care what you think about somebody. It's none of your business. Pray for that person and ask God to help you see them through his eyes. Because that's what I do. When I see people that I don't really care to hug or talk to, I ask God, please, God, help me see this person through your eyes so that I can see clearly. Because I believe everybody that God puts in your path is there for a reason. They're there for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And sometimes we might make seasonal people lifetime people, but they're not lifetime people. They're not. They look like a root, but they're not. They're a branch. And a good wind come through and knock that branch right on down. So you got to be careful. You got to be careful, because you never know when you're going to get the right one. If you stay sober and you see clearly and you're looking at people through God's lens, you'll see what God wants you to see. And you'll be able to give to the next person that comes in your life the same love that people been giving you the whole time I've been here. There are some people in Alcoholics Anonymous, I don't know what I would have did without them. And Juanita is one of those people. And I believe God used Juanita to give me everything I needed when I needed it. I am so grateful for people like her and Darnella and a lot of other people in this program that gave me things that I didn't even know I needed. And it wasn't material. It came to my heart. And it changed me as a person. And I'm a forgiving person. Even when I'm angry, I can go to somebody and say, I'm sorry that I hurt you. And I don't want to hurt you no more. And I can forgive people who have hurt me. I didn't do that in the past. I wouldn't beat them up, bust out their windows, flat their tires, crazy stuff. And now I'm able to say, you know what? I love you and I forgive you and we can move on past this. AA gave me that. You can never get that nowhere but here. Y'all the greatest people I know. I don't know nobody greater than the people in Alcoholics Anonymous. The best people I know I got out of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I want to leave with this. I want people to know the one thing about going to meet is, yes, and this was an old saying, meeting makers make it. I truly believe that that is a tool. That is one tool in your box of tools that you can use anytime you're going through something. Go to a meeting, pray, and then go to a meeting and watch God do his work. He is awesome. If only you believe, and they say you only have to have faith as a mustard seed. And if you don't have a higher power or you don't have a God in your life, you can pick up mine. I promise you, he'll treat you good. And if anyone hasn't told you today that they love you, so what? When you look in the mirror and you see who you are today, it's obvious somebody loves you. Thanks for letting me share.